community with each other. The Christian life is not a one-man show. No matter how much Christian culture has developed that way and pushed us in that regard and made us feel like Christianity is a one-man show. Christian life was meant to be lived out together with each other, and that means the good, the bad, and the ugly. We are meant to live that out together in community. But just because we are beginning to see the need for our life to be worked out together does not mean that we have a clear picture of what that's going to look like. So today is Dreaming Day, because that's what the name of the sermon series is. I have a dream. So we get to dream today about what these things are going to look like, and I'm going to show you a little bit about my dream of what some of these things look like, okay? But first, what I want to do is show you a little bit about what it may not look like, okay? So I'm going to read to you from one of the books I've been reading about what small group life or community life, or in our case, life groups could look like, or often do look like. Many of our experiences have been different. Community groups are often seen as obligatory and life-taking. We secretly hope that the kids will be sick so we can stay at home. We know that if we go, then Sally is going to dominate the conversation with the same issues that we've heard for the last 3 weeks, and insensitive Rob is going to miss the point and start lobbing verses at her. This drags on, and Jim is going to try and prove that he's the smartest guy in the room by parsing Greek verbs and quoting dead Puritans. Then, just when time is running out, we will go through prayer requests for each other's aunts' cats that are suffering from angina. My only prayer will be that it ends soon so that I can get one more piece of banana bread and get home to my TV. This is not a picture of community. Yet many of us have settled for this experience because we don't know better, or because we consider it a modern form of self-mortification. Okay? Sadly, this has probably been some people's experience in small groups. They're going, when is this going to end so I can get back home? I just need to do this, I need to do that. Okay? They can think through all the other things, but they're not present in their group because their group is not giving them life. It seems dry, it seems to be sucking life. Okay? But what would happen if we reimagined what the groups are like? What would happen if we understand correctly what the purpose of a group really is? Okay? If I were to ask people, what is the purpose of a life group, okay? That's what we're going to be calling them here, is life groups. They're not small groups, they're life groups. So if you catch me calling and saying small group, you can all yell at me, okay? Even in the sermon today, you can yell at me if I call it something other than life groups. Just about did it right there, okay? If I ask people, what is the purpose of a life group? A lot of people be like, fellowship. It's for fellowship so we can get people together, okay? And fellowship is a great thing. I know last week I said I don't care for that word because it's become watered down. But in its classic sense, fellowship is a great, great thing, okay? When done correctly. We could actually use more of it and a bit stronger variety than just sitting around talking about the Tigers or sharing prayer requests, health prayer requests, okay? It'd be nice to be able to share something about who we are, our character, that we need to build and grow. But when we view fellowship as the goal or purpose of a life group, what we are inadvertently doing, we don't even realize this, we are lifting people above God. Our main purpose is for us to fellowship. Really? What happened to God over here? Okay? Maybe that's not the main purpose. What is fellowship? Fellowship is a byproduct of what's taking place in a life group. It is like the fruit that is being produced because of that group. Another reason often cited for a life group, it's stated in various ways, close the back door of the church, retain people, make them feel, you know, in smaller groups, that kind of thing. You run into the same problem here, okay? We wind up communicating that church growth and just our church is the most important thing. That's why we do this, because we want to grow the church, or we want to keep people from running away from the church, whatever, rather than being more interested in the kingdom and making sure that people are getting pointed to the kingdom of God. So we lift up church rather than lifting up Jesus. Is retaining people a bad thing? Obviously not. Okay, that's a good thing. But again, it is a byproduct of what a life group does. It is not the real goal. The real purpose of life group would be to glorify God. That's pretty much the purpose of everything that we do, is to be glorifying God. Community really is a gift from God to display His glory and the fact that we are able to show God's grace as we live together. When we lift up the fruit of ministry, fellowship, retaining people, above the purpose of glorifying God, we're basically turning that fruit into an idol. Fellowship is the most important thing, let's bow down to that. No, God is the most important thing, let's bow down to Him. Okay? Fruit then becomes our focus. We take our eyes off of God, and we settle for something that is far less than what God ever intended for it to be. We are a lot like the C.S. Lewis quote that you may have heard. We are far too easily pleased. When we settle for the blessings of God as the goal instead of God Himself as the goal, we are truly missing out. And unfortunately, humanity has a long, sad history of trading the blessings of God and raising those up for God Himself. We settle for this stuff over here rather than going after God Himself. Okay? So if community is about receiving God's grace and displaying His image to those around us, it can be said that community is helping develop us into being disciples, which we talked about more last week. We are bearers of the image of Christ. That is who we are. Do not confuse that with what we do. Okay? It means as bearers of the image of God, we have got value. And by the way, we found our image and wound up getting it restored because of Christ, but every person on the face of the earth bears the image of God. That means every person has value, and we treat everyone as if they have value. As image bearers, we have entered into that right relationship with God. We express and glorify God through worshiping Him, through community with the body of Christ, and through mission to the world. We find our identity in Christ, okay? We define ourselves differently after we've received Christ. After Christ has come into our life, we define ourselves the way God defines us, okay? And we've talked about this, we've sung about this already. We define us for what Christ did for us on the cross. The sins that characterized our life before, they don't define us. And we're not even defined by what we do, okay? By our job, by our relationships to other people. We don't define ourselves by those things. We don't define ourselves by the sins that we might struggle with. Christ died to redeem us and to make us His own, so we are characterized by His death and shed blood. So when God looks at us, He doesn't see us, He sees Christ. Because Christ imputed, that's the big fancy theological word, Christ imputed His righteousness to us, which basically means we traded way, way up. He took our sins on Himself and gave us all of His righteousness. Okay? We traded way up in that deal. That is why we praise Him the way we do. As a community, that means that Jesus Christ is our King and our Savior. The Bible is our authority, and the Trinity is our example of what it means to live life as a community. So we worship together. Most of y'all know, every human being on the face of the earth worships something. One way or the other, we all worship something. But when we have our identity in Christ, we realize that we were created to worship God. And that is when our greatest joy comes, is when we are fulfilling that high calling of worshiping Him. That's when we are truly at rest, at peace, and at joy. And as we do this as a community, it means that we're going to worship together. We're going to encourage one another and proclaim the excellencies of Christ. The community itself is a testament to Jesus Christ and His ability to save us. The simple fact that He's drawn so many different people into relationship together from so many different backgrounds and the things that they struggle with and the things that they do, and He can put them all together in a group and we all are able to get along and we're all able to praise God, we're all able to stay focused on the same thing, that's amazing. And that brings glory to God. Okay? We build community. And it seems like kind of a no-brainer for a life group, and we've talked about how the Trinity is our model for community. God is relational, and therefore He has made us to be relational as well. As a life group, that means preaching the gospel by our very lives. We love one another, We forgive one another as Christ forgave us. We call one another to confession and repentance. We seek reconciliation rather than that lovely, awkward specter of silence. If you've ever had that in a relationship. We challenge one another to be living our whole life for God's glory. Then we're also on a mission together. We become followers of Christ. We become missionaries. Charles Spurgeon, great English preacher, those of you who may know him, once said, "Every believer is a missionary or an imposter." Do you get that one? We should all be reaching out to someone. Now, we think missionary, we think we're supposed to all go to foreign countries. No. We are simply reaching out and showing other people Christ. So every believer is either a missionary or you are an imposter. You are supposed to be displaying the excellencies of Christ to anyone you come in contact with. Okay? And we're following the example of God himself on that. God sent his Son on a mission to redeem humanity. And we have taken part in that mission. We're invited and encouraged and have the privilege to join him in that. We said yes to him, and now we get to be part of the army and keep marching forward with him. So God is in the business of gathering more worshipers for himself. He is trying to redeem even more for himself. And as disciples, our job is to proclaim the gospel so that more people come to that saving faith. In life groups, we're called to live with God's mission in mind. Not just for our brothers and sisters in Christ, but also our mission to love our neighbors and to the world. Okay? So how do we respond to all this as a church? We've looked at it, where our model comes from, how we're supposed to be relational in community. We've looked at how that relationship should affect us as believers, pushing us on toward confession and repentance. But what would it look like for the community to be fulfilling these one another's? And before I answer that, I need to make sure that we understand what various ministries are for. Okay? So, Sunday morning, here on church, we worship God together in a variety of different ways. We do it through singing, we do it through prayer, we do it through listening to God's Word. And in listening to God's Word, God should be moving in our hearts and in our lives toward repentance. So when we walk out of here, we should be saying, wow, that's something that I need to change, okay? So we come in here, we listen to this devilishly good-looking preacher preach for a little while. We walk out the door feeling that, oh my goodness, I need to be different. And then what have we done in many years past? We ourselves go, I'm going to change, I'm going to do this differently. And usually we keep those things to ourselves. We don't share those things with anyone else. So Sunday morning is the point. When you're here, it's for conviction. It's for hearing God's Word and being convicted by the Holy Spirit, using God's Word, and driving us toward being more like Christ. The purpose of... lost myself in my notes. For a life group would be for confession and repentance. Okay? When we have experienced conviction from the Holy Spirit over sin in our lives on a Sunday morning, then that's the time that we need to deal with that. And we need to have others to be helping push us along in that. This is not the place where we should be hiding away, okay? Our life group gives us a place for confession and repentance. Repentance is an active thing, okay? You all know that? That's actually a verb. To repent means to turn around from the direction you were going. You were headed one way, you're turning around and going back the other direction. That's an active thing, folks. And too often we try and do that active thing all on our own when we should be having others helping us with that. Okay? Life group gives us a place where we can deal with what God is doing in our hearts and in our lives. So our brothers and sisters can lovingly care for us, pray for us, and even question us on a deeper level when we need to be questioned about things. So keeping in mind that how we meet these needs are matters of ministry choice. And here's what I mean by ministry choice. Churches have different ways of handling things and trying to get to their ultimate goal about certain stuff. We're making certain choices about how ministries are going to run. The direction that we're going to take as a church is we're going to want to start up this life group ministry. Okay? I've given you biblical reasons why we're headed in this direction, but let me give you some practical reasons why we're headed this direction. As a church, we have always been good at Sunday morning. Strong Sunday morning service. Unfortunately, what that does is that leaves the rest of the week oftentimes where we don't see our brothers and sisters in Christ. Not on an intentional and meaningful way. Okay? So, it means that we have had the truth and the conviction all covered, but that whole repentance and confession part, that's been a little weaker. So our life group ministry now begins to build that in, which is going to be that starting block for discipleship. Life groups not only meet the need for confession and repentance, but it allows for other ministries to be taken care of as well. Okay? The groups are going to help build stronger community or a stronger family of Christ. But the groups are also going to help with pastoral care. The fact is, I am not going to be able to handle helping each and every one of you one-on-one with repentance and conviction and so on and so forth. There are a lot of things that I have to let go to the side in the church because I am over the church and I'm over the youth ministry and it stretches me fairly thin. So there are some things, and there's days when I sit in my office going, I should be doing that. I wish I could have had the time to do this, and I wish I had the time. There's a lot of times when I feel kind of guilty for not doing some of the things that I would love to be able to do. What life groups winds up helping us do is the fact that you guys are going to be able to do some of the pastoral care yourselves. And this is, you guys remember all the way back to week one in this series when I said this is going to be a difficult series because we are attempting to change a culture. The culture oftentimes in Christianity has not pushed the fact that you guys are capable of ministering for Christ. It does not take someone with a degree to be able to minister for Christ. All of you can do those things. And the fact of the matter is, here's the biblical example of this. Moses, you guys remember the story? Moses tried to run around and go do everything for the nation of Israel. Now, the nation of Israel at that time, they estimate was somewhere in the neighborhood of about 1 million people. That's kids, wives, husbands, everybody, okay? Somewhere in the neighborhood of 1 million people, and here you got one guy trying to run around and meet the needs of 1 million people. You think he was tired by the end of the day? He was exhausted all the time. Till finally his father-in-law comes to him and says, you know what? You need to set this up and you need to trust that when you set these things in place, put people over groups of 100, put people over groups of 50, put people over groups of 10, you need to trust that they can handle these things. And if they can't, they pass it up the chain. Okay? The really serious cases, they'll bring to you. But otherwise, you trust everything else and you let them minister to each other. And that's what we need to be doing. Okay? I'm not going to go so far as to say that I'm feeling exhausted, but this is going to be a huge help when we're able to be helping one another. Okay? We need to have that structure in place where you can be ministering to each other. And by the way, that whole one another thing, I wish I had brought my list. We need to make up a list and start posting them around the entire church. Seriously. There are 59 different one another's in the New Testament. Did you know that? 59 different. Now, there's some that are said multiple times. Like love one another, there's a lot of those. Forgive one another, there's quite a few of those. Encourage one another, greet one another, carry one another's burdens. There are 59 different one another's. That means that we're supposed to be doing this together. And we each help encourage one another. We lift each other up that way, okay? Life groups also help with the mission of Christ. In Luke chapter 19, says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. That was Christ's mission, to seek and to save the lost. And when a group is glorifying Christ by loving, by forgiving, by telling the truth, by serving, we wind up joining Christ in his mission, seeking and saving the lost, by being a witness to the people around us. Okay? So let me give you a little snapshot of what these groups could look like. Because the groups are well suited for confession and repentance, I envision them as following the sermons on Sunday morning. Okay, the sermon series. Questions for discussion are going to wind up getting written up. So after the sermon series, we'll actually have questions for discussion that are going to go out to these life groups, and then they're going to talk about those things together in life group together. This gives the whole group a structure, and it complements one another. Conviction comes here. Confession, repentance happens there with the people that you are with. Okay? And in fact, if there's anybody here who says, I would love to be able to be the person to write some of those questions and help write some of that curriculum, please let me know afterwards, because I'd be more than happy to let you do that. Y'all know that I'm 8 weeks ahead on sermons, so that means you're not going to have to worry about getting it on Saturday night and have it ready for Sunday morning. It's already ready. It's already sitting there for you. You got plenty of time to be able to work through all that stuff, okay? I envision that the groups are going to grow together to the point that they truly enjoy being with each other. Okay? If you've ever studied how a relationship works, relationships ebb and flow. And by that I mean, you will have times when you have deep, meaningful conversation. And that's great. But you don't live at the place where you're always having deep, meaningful conversation. You also have times where you're just shooting the breeze, just talking about general stuff and having a good time, okay? You have times of just flat-out fun, okay? You laugh, you have a good time, you're just having fun. You even have times of silence, where nobody says anything, and that's okay. Nobody's worried, they're mad at me. No, you just sit in silence and you're just happy to be with each other. Point is that you relate to everyone on multiple different levels. Now, if you translate that into a life group, you should not just have times of deep conversation over what the sermon is. You should also just enjoy shooting the breeze, just talking about life in general, or enjoy a meal together, or hang out and actually laugh and have fun and have a good time together. And it really means you learn to do life together. So I also envision the groups that will seek and serve the community around them. Okay? The groups are going to know their neighbors, they're going to know the neighborhood, and they're going to know the needs around them so that they can be reaching out to other people. Okay? Now some of you are already sitting there scratching your head going, gee, Pastor, that sounds like that's a big time commitment. Okay? And my answer to that is, yes. Yes, it is. It is a time commitment. But being involved in the mission of Christ to seek and to save the lost is a high calling. And we've already talked about giving God our first fruits of our time, too. Not the leftovers where we just kind of cram them in where we can fit them, but we give him the first fruits of our time. But more than that, I envision that the groups are going to be a place where you grow together and you desire to be together. You ever fallen in love with being around a group of people? Anybody? A few people like each other. That's about it. You just can't get enough time being around them, right? If you don't understand that now from a group of friends, you probably need to change your group of friends, sorry. But number two, you probably at least understand this because if you're a father or a mother, you suddenly understand it when you have a child, right? You can't get enough of being around your kids. When they've grown up and they move away, you can't get enough of being around your kids. When they come home to visit, you are so excited, you don't want them to go running around. When they come home from college, you don't want to hand them the keys to the car and let them go running off with their friends. You want them home so that you can be with your kids, right? You're with a group of people that you really enjoy. That is something that we've seen take place within the youth ministry of our church, okay? And it doesn't matter whether they're having deep conversation, whether they are just hanging out, or whether they are serving in some capacity. The kids love to be together. And little like a parent, I enjoy being with them, okay? They love to be together so much that there are days when I have to force them to go home. Literally. Especially after the summer, because somehow the youth interns always like screw them up and like let them stay for youth group until midnight or something like that, and then I come back in and take over in the fall, and they're all like, can't we stay later? I'm like, you have school in the morning. Go home, okay? I've even had to break my own rule, okay? I have a rule that I don't leave the property until all the kids are picked up and all that kind of stuff. Well, in nicer weather when we're all hanging out and standing around outside, there's been times, because I usually let them just kind of hang out, and I'm like, all right, when we hit youth group ends at 8, when we hit about 8:30, that's when I start pushing them toward the door. We start pushing toward 9, and I'm like, okay. There's been a few times when I'm like, They've got a ride. They've got a ride. They've got a ride. They've got a ride. All right, I'm going home. See you, folks. Have fun. And I just let them stand out in the yard and talk. Okay? Because they enjoy being with each other. So much so that I've actually asked one of our youth group kids to come up and just give a brief testimony about why it is that they enjoy being with the youth group so much. So, Drita, take it away. Kind of a group to be with, that's awesome. That is wonderful. Does it happen overnight? No. Does it take work and effort? Absolutely. Okay? But it is so worth it when you get there, when you're at that point. Okay? Is this a time commitment? Certainly. Is it worth finding the time for this? Absolutely. Where we go from here as a church? Our goal, number one, our goal is to have life groups up and running by about mid-October. So it still gives us a little bit of time to get things organized and get things ready. Our other goal is we've been approaching some folks about running life groups, about leading those. We are planning on having training for them so that they know and understand what the vision is, what they understand what we're attempting to do, ways in which we're trying to get there, so on and so forth. But we are going to train our leaders and know what they have to do. Okay? In your bulletin, you're going to find a lovely little yellow sheet. It says life group sign up. Okay? Today's a simple thing. Put down your name and your contact information. Put down all the days that work for you. Okay? So if there's some days that are just bad for you, then put that down. But all the days and times and stuff that work for you. If you got kids. And then if there's already a family in the church or a person in the church that you already have a good affinity with, that you're like, man, if I could be in a group with that person, that would be awesome. And then, you know, that'd be great. Put that in there. We will try and fulfill that request as best we can. This you can fill out. You don't have to have it all today because I know there's probably some of you here going, but I have kids in sports and I don't know what day they're going to be playing sports and so on and so. That's okay. You got a few weeks to be able to turn these things in. But what's going to happen after this, after you turn these things in, is you'll wind up getting contacted by one of the group leaders who's going to be meeting on a night that you can meet on. Okay? We're going to team you up that way so that you can be meeting together. And they're going to be letting you know about their group and when it's going to meet and where it's going to meet and all those kinds of things. Okay? This all involves a few things. It involves commitment. Commitment is a dirty word nowadays. Okay? Other than making that commitment to marriage, and for some folks, that word still isn't all that solid as it should be. Most people are really scared to make commitments for time and things of that nature, but this is going to require commitment. Okay? It also involves changing that mindset of the fact that we are ministers for Christ. You have been given, according to the book of Peter, 1 Peter, I believe, you have been given everything you need for life and godliness. And that means you've been given everything you need to be able to share that with others as well. It means that you're brothers and sisters in Christ and that you can engage in pastoral care and discipling one another. Okay? And here's the thing. This is really key. If you do not see yourself as capable of fulfilling this, if you do not see yourself as capable of taking on a pastoral care role for the people in our church, it is going to stunt your growth and it's going to stunt the growth of the church, quite honestly. Because all of us need to be able to get in that mindset that, yes, I've got something to bring to the table to share with others. Okay? This is an exciting time. A time to see when our church is going to rise in a way that we've never done before. We're kind of changing our paradigm than we have in the past. And we've risen to the occasion in the past as well, with things like Community Sunday and other such stuff. What I'm asking you to do, in the vein of making Christ central in your schedule, is to step out in faith, once again, as we kind of shift our paradigm. Now, one thing I can promise you is going to happen is that because we are shifting our paradigm, and this is all kind of new territory for us as a church, things are probably going to be messy. Just that simple. Things are going to get messy. But they will improve over time because we will continue to learn. If I learned nothing from being in charge of baccalaureate, I learned this. That as you go along, it does get easier. In fact, in the last couple of years, Dale Rinke helps me plan baccalaureate every year. We've looked at each other for the last 3 years and said the same thing every year. It can't be this easy. We're forgetting something because we have just gotten it down to a science. Right now, our life group ministry, we don't have down to a science, but you know what? We're going to learn as we go. And as we learn, we grow. As we grow, we're getting stronger. And as we get stronger, we have a greater and greater ability of being able to point back to God and to be able to give Him all the glory. Let's pray. God, thanks again for bringing us to this point as a church where we are looking to really get deeply involved with each other, with the people in our, around us. Lord, we are grateful for the influence that they've had in our lives already. And Lord, we pray for more. We pray that we are going to be able to achieve these loving communities, which is what we're aiming at, Lord. We know that sometimes that can be difficult. It can be trying on the schedule. It can be trying on the heart sometimes. But Lord, we know that it's very worth it in the end. So, Father, I pray that you're going to be moving each one of us and responding in the ways that we need to respond. You're the one who needs to be moving in people's hearts. No guilt trips, no anything like that. It's you that just simply needs to be directing and guiding each person here as to what their step is going to be. So, God, we give it to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.